And yes, we are here. Hey guys, kia ora, thank you so much and welcome to Major Daigle. Last day event news. I tell you, got into town, rushed in, and here we are, made it, and I am just shattered. But it is great to be with you tonight. Welcome everybody, welcome to you. All right guys, we've got a very special show for you tonight, and as ever, you know, I've got to thank our sponsors and all of you for making it all possible to make it possible that we have a broadcasting platform and that I have a platform for which to broadcast from to you. And the whole thing about when I consider the work I've done for the last 3 years leading up to the point where I'm facing sentencing tomorrow with Vinny is that it always was going to lead to this. It always was. It was always going to lead to this. And I guess it was a conclusion, inevitable that this was going to happen in some way. And the thing is this, you know, tyranny is something that needs to be stood up against. It needs to be called out, and the Bible says to call sin by its name. And that's what we did. But more than that, and well, just as important, is that when you see people hurt and you see people harmed, you must speak up about it. You must do your best as a caring citizen of New Zealand to speak up against it, to stand up against it, and to try and help the community in which you are a part of. That's what it's always been about for me. It's never been about anything else. I was quite comfortable with my life before this whole COVID-19 and realization that we're being herded into a global plan of tyranny, hardship, and virtual enslavement. I mean, look what we've gone through in the last 3 years, the lockdowns. Then it was the vaccine passports. Then it was the vaccine itself. The segregation of families, friends, business and work colleagues. Incredible, incredible. And whilst we're hearing about all the terrible things in China and the way that the Chinese government treated its citizens, here in New Zealand it became equally as bad and very easily demonstrable in the way that our Prime Minister gleefully chuckled to herself when asked to clarify whether there were going to be two classes of people in New Zealand, one with rights if you're vaccinated and one section of New Zealand without rights if you weren't vaccinated. And it was at that time when she said that, and with such a look of glee in her eye, that I knew that we were in serious trouble here in New Zealand. And then, of course, that whole pathway that I went on entering politics to fight the fight against what I was seeing, and just speaking the truth, because it never was just about COVID. It was about Agenda 21, Agenda 2030. It was about the climate change. It was about communism. It was about globalism. It was about this whole loss of New Zealand's way of life, the Kiwiana way of life that I could see at risk. And here we are today, living the dystopian nightmare of the reality. It's here. It's everything that we warned about in 2020. Regardless of all of that, we are here. We are where we are today. And I'm going to be talking about all of this with my dear friend, Vinny Eastwood, who is being sentenced with me tomorrow for speaking up against the harm that we were seeing, that I was seeing in particular, because I used to drive Vinny nuts with information that I had to download on somebody, and he was it. So I was downloading all the pain and the suffering that I was seeing onto his shoulders, because he was my really closest mate. And that, of course, created anxiety for him, because he saw the other side of the coin of all the people suffering because they're losing their jobs, they're disaffected, they're hurt, they're harmed, and frightened and angry. And he saw that. He was standing alongside of me all the way, and that led to him standing with me on the 18th of August 2021, when we were both arrested. Anyway, before we do get in the show, just some housekeeping as usual. Just a reminder, guys, this is happening. My amazing co-director, videographer, is into the editing of this right now as I am sitting here speaking to you. She is busy doing the work. and it's amazing. It's going to be amazing. Now, I've got a bit of a soundbite I'm going to share with you at some point tonight with Vinny, with me, an excerpt from my interview with Mike Yedden. I just want to share some of his comments with you to give you confidence that what we are going to deliver, what we are packaging right now, is going to be exactly what we've needed to have done. And I'll be talking a bit about that later. Also, don't forget, we've got your t-shirts. Please get your orders in. We've got a few left, and we want to get them out there, guys. We need to get the message out there. So email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. And also, and again, this is my job. This what I do here, educationally wise, broadcasting, podcasting, whatever you want to say it, fighting the fight, educating, helping people, speaking to them. If you value the work that I do, then this is the way to support me to continue to be able to do it. Now, also, I want to be perfectly clear. I would have had legal aid had it been appropriate for me to have it. And if I could have had it, I would have done it. And so I just want to clarify that, because I had somebody out there with a huge chip on the shoulder say to me, Billy, why didn't you apply for legal aid? Well, I asked about that, and my lawyer would not accept that. That's not his fault. That's just how he works, and that's it. So I do have legal fees to cover, and I would appreciate your help to do that, please. Even this hotel that we're staying at tonight, you know, traveling down from up north and being here with my beautiful wife and family as we deal with what we're going to face tomorrow. And, of course, don't forget to support Vinny, but this is how you can support me right now to continue on with the work I'm doing. Well, that's my preamble. That's my introductory valedictorian, well, almost valedictorian. It feels like valedictorian speech, doesn't it? But the intro to tonight's show, and I would like to welcome to Magic Daiko Last Day Events my good friend Vincent Eastwood. Kia ora, Vinny. Welcome. It's nice to have you on the show. It's been a while.
G'day, brother. It's good to see you again in the screen. It's an improvement on what we had to do back in the day, wasn't it, when we were literally not allowed to contact each other for about a year, I think, you know. We were such hardened criminals that we were going to conspire in secret that we were not allowed to communicate for over a year. My goodness, that sucked. And the whole situation has been a learning experience. We now know, through Billy's political aspirations, that protesting doesn't work, politics doesn't work, and new tactics and new things need to be devised. And we've shown it, and the Wellington protests have shown it, that they're not going to listen to us. They're absolutely not going to. So we need to force their hand. And if peaceful protest and freedom of speech is being outlawed, then getting away from the system itself and getting rid of our reliance upon it seems to be the next logical move.
I think you're right, Vinny, because that's one of the things that's disturbed me the most. I felt like we were kind of ahead of the wave, shall we say, back in 2020, because I knew once I had done my research into the whole COVID-19 issue and found all the gaps in the data, the inconsistencies in the narrative, and also the propaganda that was being shelled out as quickly as they could do it, I knew there were some really intense problems with the narrative and the issue and what we were facing. And I was able to link that back to things like Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, which, of course, our sister Rosa Corey was thrilled that a politician was up front and talking about Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030, wasn't she? She's quite thrilled that there was a New Zealand politician doing that. And I knew that the links in this chain of tyranny that we've been dealing with, they needed to be identified. So really the whole idea of going into politics to try and fight it was an attempt to slow it down, because I always knew there was no going back to normal. That was really clear to me once I'd worked out the level of the depth that it went down to and how deep it was running, this conspiracy against rights and freedoms. And I knew from what the Bible had told me that this was going to end up maturing in what the Bible calls the beast system. And I knew there was no going back for it. So, and that was proven, as you remember, Vinny, you know, just a few days out from the election, my political Facebook page gets taken down by big tech, by Facebook. And now we found out that the New Zealand government has always had a backdoor censorship mechanism in Facebook that they had access to. So that deserves an inquiry and an investigation. My page was dropped. That huge...
So the gravity of this, the government censoring its own competition online.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking to myself right then, if that's true in New Zealand, why could it not be true in the States? Was it not the US government that pulled Trump's Twitter account, for example? Who knows?
Well, I think the thing is, we've been pretty naive in New Zealand to think, well, you know, it happens other countries, but it wouldn't happen here. Well, it has happened here. The fact is, the Internal Affairs Department of the New Zealand government has admitted that the New Zealand government has had two backdoor keys to both Twitter and Facebook. And then, you know, somehow, despite the fact I had 78,000 people on my personal database, not mentioning all the tens of thousands, over 100,000 people on the NZPP database that was taken off us after the election and used to form Voices for Freedom. I had 78,000 people in my database, and then it turned out that we had just under 30,000 at the final count of votes in New Zealand. And it's unbelievable. We had several thousand votes from overseas that were cast in favour of Advanced New Zealand, NZPP, and then they're trying to tell us that, you know, 25,500 only was in New Zealand. Well, you know, I think everybody needs to do their own calculations. And I'm way beyond it. It doesn't matter anymore, because what we've gained out of this, Vinny, as you pointed out, is that there is no political solution within the system. And the thing that constantly irritates me, and I'll admit that out loud now, is that no one in the freedom movement that's trying to politicize themselves into parliament is saying this. Nobody is saying that there's a problem inherent in this corrupt system that we're being confronted with. And that really, really, really disturbs me. That really disturbs me that none of them have turned up and said, right, okay, fair enough, let's get us into parliament, let's work out how we get out of the system, and because this was my catchphrase in 2020. Help me get into parliament, we will see how we can get out of the system, but I'll be your watchdog and your voice while we're in there until we can get out of the system. The problem is, Vinny, none of them are saying it, mate. None of them, not one.
Yeah, so let's review. If you've got somebody who's organising a protest, they're wasting their time. If you've got somebody who's engaging in politics, they're wasting their time. And if they're trying to get you to pay attention to what they're doing and participate in it, they're wasting your time. And that's on you. And so you're like, oh, well, what are we supposed to be doing then, Vinny? Well, do you have contact with any local farmers or your street or an organisation of individuals where you've got food that's going to be delivered in a crisis and things of that nature? No? Get on it. Have you got everybody organised so that you know people with specific medical skills, so that if somebody falls and breaks their leg or something, you don't have to go to a government hospital? No? Get on it. Have you got your ability to communicate with each other, like a ham radio or walkie-talkies for the street, just in case a big mob of people come knocking? No, you don't have code words in place. No, you don't have food stored. These are the things you need to be doing right now. And each one of these things that you do, each person that you include in your circle to actually provide real things in your survival in a bad situation, allows you to get away from the system, and that hurts the system and it benefits you. Every single time we go protesting, it doesn't hurt the system and it doesn't benefit us. Every time we go out the politics, it doesn't hurt the system and it doesn't benefit us. Okay, very, very clear on that.
Yeah, and I think that's the bottom line. Like, bottom line, these are hard-learned lessons, because how many protests did I go on before it was called to be a protester like what we were with Te Amara Williams, most of the NZPP advance crew, excuse me, but you had Liberty New Zealand, of course, who did a great job with the original protest that they started. You know, let's give credit and acknowledgement where it's due. But the fact is, it didn't do anything. Now, Ricardo Bossi said something really important, and it was pragmatic, and it was poignant, in that he said, you know, yep, 10,000 people, okay, fair enough. 100,000 people, nah, not still not yet. 1 million people, yes, people will take notice. And for us to get out of this, it would literally take 1 million New Zealanders down in Wellington, closing everything down in civil strikes and civil peaceful disobedience. It needed to be what happened in February, March last year. It needed to be 20 times that. At least 20 times that. That's what it needed to be to such a high volume and scale that it would have been impossible. Just look at how the Indians did it in India when they fought against the tyranny of British rule, and when they were fighting for their freedom, their autonomy away from British Commonwealth rule. And they were so very clever. I mean, you look at Mahatma Gandhi. He was able to peacefully conquer the might of the lion, the British. And, you know, they did that. And I think there are some really important lessons there. Number one, of course, is do things with peace in your heart. Do things with peace in your spirit. Because one thing that we saw with the Posey Parker thing on Saturday, we saw what it looks like when you have disaffected, unwell people trying to force their way of thinking on the rest of the opposition, shall we say. That's never going to work, but there is strength in mass numbers in doing this together. And I think I would be converted to believe, like Te Amara and I, you know, she's my dear sister, we had a very cute debate at the end of our podcast last night about Winston Pete, and she says, oh, he's saying some good things. And I said, well, he'd say anything to get back into Parliament, and I believe that with all my heart. I believe that, but my door remains slightly ajar with the hope that my phone will ring and it'll be, Blink, you've got me wrong. It's Winston here. Kia ora, let's have a meeting. He's got my number. He can get it through Shane Jones instantly and ring me. And then if he sat me down and said, Billy, this system's got to go. It's corrupt. What do we need to do? How do we do this? If he did something like that and he says, I know I look like a Johnny Come Lately. I know that I look unbelievable, but I want to assure you that I believe in rights and freedoms, and this is why. Then I'd give them a shot. But you know what? None of these people are tuning up with anything different, and that should be a clue to everybody that the system has bred people that become addicted to its breast. I saw it with Jamie Lee, and I've seen it with other parliamentarians who get voted out. And they're like stupefied. They're standing there going, holy heck, I want to get back in there. What do I need to do? And they'll pick up on any life raft that looks like it's going to carry them back into Parliament. But again, not one of them, not even the so-called independent parties, are coming out and saying the system in its entirety is corrupt. The core of it's completely wrong. New Zealand is not constitutional in any way. And we need to fix this. We need to come up with a constitutional framework using Te Waka Putunga and the treaty as the founding documents to help us navigate a way forward for all New Zealanders, not one above the other, with a good recognition, of course, as tangata whenua, mana whenua, of course, but not in this he puapua version of a multicultural society that New Zealand is. And that's, you know, and that's what's really important. We don't have any of the frameworks in place for a truly freedoms and civil liberties focused society, and now we're living that reality. And yet, this is deep stuff, Vinny, and I don't have all the answers, but I know what's missing. That's for sure.
I think what a lot of people are really concerned about over this whole debacle. I mean, are you going to be sharing us articles or something like that? Can we turn the share screen off theoretically? But never mind, we'll go with it. So I was just thinking about this morning, is why isn't everybody so stressed out all the time? And it reminds me of the response to 9/11, is that the media convinced you everything was real. They put an aura of endless threat around you that was inescapable, and it convinced everybody that this thing was real, that there was a real threat and they were absolutely in danger and something had to be done about it, come hell or high water. I'll tell you what, hell's coming first.
Yeah.
You know, in more ways than one.
Absolutely. So, Vinny, what I want to explore with you is, I will just for now take off the share screen part there. I want to ask you, Vinny, what is the last... what is it now, 19 months been for you since that day we were arrested on the 18th of August, 2021. What has life been like for you since then?
You know, it's been pretty average, to be honest. Life was one way and now it's another, you know. I used to be a talk radio show host. I used to be a YouTuber. I used to have, a good name, and I used to have enough money to get by relatively easily on a daily basis. I used to be able to go to protests, and I used to not kind of like be on the edge of panic attacks on kind of like a daily basis if something's like really relentless or something like that. My body goes into kind of shutdown. And it seems that the level of relentlessness that's required to cause that is somewhat less of late, right? Like it's fractured me. It's made me fragile and kind of like a bit scared, frankly, and concerned for my future and the future of everybody else. And this sort of conviction that we might be well facing has caused a lot of stress in my household, and not least to me, but it's also freaking the heck out of my partner. And because she's stressed, our baby boy Alfie can pick up on that stress. Yeah. You know, so it's probably the worst kind of like time in my life. I think if I had to, you know, just summarize it briefly.
Well, you know, we weren't allowed to talk for a solid 12 months. And, you know, it was terrible for me because I was watching your shows from afar, hearing what you had to say and not being able to comment, not being able to make contact with you. And, you know, to our credit, we never ever once violated the conditions of the bail. Certainly I know what all of mine were, and I never violated them at all, not once. And to not have that contact and then come back together and try and catch up with you of the previous 12 months, you know, I saw a different Vinny, and I've talked about that with my darling and other people who know you, and you are different. I feel different to what I was on that day. Up until that day, I believed in the New Zealand Police as an organisation that I could work with, like I'd done for every other protest. As court record to state, I made contact with the ops manager of the day, who said to me, "Well, I believe there's always the risk you could get arrested, but we will take a graduated approach. And if you work with us, we'll be fine, and we'll give you warning." And when it's gotten too big, too far, and we will make sure that we avoid that. Yep, no problem, all good, great. And then literally five minutes before the end of the event, some guy turns up while I was speaking, tries to hand me a letter, which I didn't accept, and said, "Look, I've got to go, we're finishing." And then they arrested me. You know, Auntie Georgie was about to speak, and, you know, it was right at the end, we were going to have Karakia to finish, and that would have been it. Everybody would have gone home, nothing. That was a peaceful protest. It was beautiful, less than 100 people. outdoors, it was good. And then we got arrested, and I knew as soon as we drove away that they were not taking us to the College Hill processing police hub. They weren't taking us there. I knew that they were taking us to Mount Eden because I'd done that trip myself, transferring prisoners, and I knew that they were taking us there. And I just thought, this is going to be something different. Something else is happening here. And I just knew that it wasn't going to be over as quickly as I thought it would, because I thought, okay, they were going to basically they'll process us, they'll fingerprint us, and you know, then they'll basically let us out, and then we may be summoned, so on and so forth. But it wasn't that. It was so much bigger than that. For me, Vinny, the last 19 months. The last 19 months represents a psychological operation on us and every other freedom fighter in New Zealand who was watching us. I think that's what's happened with Calvin and Hannah as well in their arrest. I mean, the fact is they had to re-engineer on a retrospective basis the law to try and arrest those two, which they did. And so I don't see, I do pray that falls over. Clearly it should do, but we'll see. But back to us, we were the first political prisoners of this current government. We were, and that's exactly what it felt like. We had a message that they didn't agree with. They had a message that was challenging them right at the core of their plans, and they had to silence us, and that was how they were going to do it. They knew that it was a big statement that we were making on the steps of Television New Zealand against the harm, against the death, against the suicide, against the economic destruction of our country, which they now know that that's exactly the truth of it. There was no exaggeration. And I make reference now to John Hopkins University's economic division, who have done a report, an in-depth report on the benefits of lockdowns, and they said there was none. They said there was none. And the world now knows that they don't want to use lockdowns. Why? Because overseas, they'll break out into open street warfare. And I'm not encouraging that. My stance has always been one of peace, as you know, Vinny. But the fact is, we've lived through 19 months of threat, 19 months of stress. There was I was looking at broadcasts of myself a couple of months after our arrest. I had a beard down to here. I had a beard down to here. I looked like I just walked off the set of Grizzly Adams. And I reckon I had some sort of mild mental breakdown over that period, where I just wanted to hide myself from the public, hide myself from myself, and just kind of, you know, I'm not here. And thankfully, my faith in the Lord keeps me marching on. But there's no doubt this has been a psychological operation on New Zealand, on New Zealanders that disagree with them, and on specifically on you and I, Vinny. It's going to culminate tomorrow. We will be sentenced one way or the other, and it's been difficult. It's been a difficult 19 months. I've had moments of real joy in that time, I've got to admit. I've had some really good times, but always with this dark, dark cloud hanging over me. And then the actual experience of going to court and see policemen stand there and try and criminalize me for doing the right thing that they should have done. As I've said, I've worn four uniforms in my life that represent service to our country. And what you and I did on that day is what they, real men and women, should have done on that day, and a few did on that day, but we did leading it because it was the right thing to do.
I think there's another scene from Sparta, you know. It's funny, like, I made fun of and, you know, called the Spartan and stuff like that for my throwaway line after Chris's speech. He's like, never give up, never surrender. And then I quote 300. Oh, was it, no retreat,
no surrender. That is Spartan law. And by Spartan law, we will stand and fight.
But there's another quote that comes to mind now, is when the king is talking to one of the soldiers about negotiating with the king of the enemy. And the soldier's concerned that they might assassinate him. And he says, well, if they do, all of Sparta goes to war. Pray, they're that stupid. Pray, we're that lucky. So, if something really bad happens tomorrow, if we do get a sentence in prison and stuff like that, it's going to really galvanize a lot of people out there, and the government and the judges and police and stuff might not be so glad that they did. You know, they might not expect violence or something, but there's going to be potentially a lot of people who now just live their lives differently because they know for a fact they can't trust the system.
I think you're right, Vinny. I've done some numbers in my mind. I've been over some scenarios in my mind, and I really do believe that if there's a jail sentence offered on the table for us by the judge tomorrow, I think there's going to be a lot of trouble out there, and I think that will be certainly be the end of this particular government. Whether it'll be the end of the system, I think it could be the beginning of a mass civil awakening. And because at the end of the day, what is it that we want? What is it that we want? Well, I'll tell you what I would like to see. I'd like to see a New Zealand that is about New Zealanders. I'd like to see a New Zealand that will keep all New Zealanders safe and freedom. I'd like to see people be able to have a government system of people and representatives that is truly about serving them. I would like to see all of the parliamentarians that do such a service on half the money, at least, of what they get paid now, half the perks, and see if they still want to be there. I'd like to see New Zealand become sovereign in itself, in its own footprint. And what I mean by that is, I'd like to get us out of the WHO, the UN, out of all the various trade agreements. I would get us out of the carbon emission scheme yesterday, and I would remove every connection to communism and in terms of other governments that we may have contact with, i.e. CCP influence. I would sever any contact with them on any basis where they may pose a threat to New Zealand. And that includes the United States. Yes, they are a traditional Five Eyes partner of ours, but the fact is they have militarized themselves in such a way that their way of life, especially in the Biden administration, is hostile towards traditional Kiwi values in life. And those values that we saw demonstrated at the Posey Parker event by those so-called Antifa, pro-trans, pro-rainbow community activists, is the exact represents the exact tone of the Biden government, which represents the tones of other woke governments such as the Trudeau government and now the Albanese government of Australia. So what I would like to see is that New Zealand actually says no more of this ancient Westminster system. I don't believe that we should ever sever our ties to history with our Commonwealth history in a sneaky covert way to get rid of the treaty in He Waka Putanga. But what I think we need to do is fashion an entire new, almost a mix of a Commonwealth Republican New Zealand government based on a whole bunch of different meritorious principles that New Zealanders can live with in the general. Now, one of the things that I find pretty exciting is if you look at the Swiss system of democracy there, nothing is done unless the people agree to it. Nothing is done. So there's no chance of a New Zealand government like ours creating these laws, putting them into public one day and expecting all submissions to be in the next day by 5 p.m, which is, this is the government we have and the type of government that we have. So if we could look at that, then I think we've got a starting point. You know, clean up our country, stop the geoengineering that's happening over our country, stop the 1080, you know, and look at what resources that we do have that we can safely harvest the energy and the value out of as a nation. Because the way that this is going on now with the current government system represents the end to any logic, starting right at the foundational parts of how do you build a home for you and your family. So the Resource Management Act is just a covert way for the government to globalise us and centralise. And it's got to stop.
I also think that what's relevant with this Posey Parker thing is my lawyer, Nathan Batts from MH Legal, sent in a recommendation, you know, for us on the sentencing. What kind of sentence should we receive? And part of this, I thought, was particularly relevant to the Posey Parker case. For example, I'll just read this off here if you just bear with me. Pursuant to Section 3 of the Summary Offences Act 1981, this offence is committed where a person in or within view of any public place behaves or incites or encourages any person to behave in a riotous, offensive, threatening, insulting, or disorderly manner that is likely, in the circumstances, to cause violence against persons or property to start or continue. The maximum penalty is a $2,000 fine or 3 months imprisonment. Under Section 5A of the Summary Offences Act 1981, it is also an offence to assemble in an assembly of three or more persons who in any public place assemble in such a manner or so conduct themselves when assembled as to cause a person in the immediate vicinity of the assembly to fear on reasonable grounds that the person so assembled will use violence against persons or property or will commit the offence of disorderly behaviour. The same maximum penalty as for behaviour applies. That is the law in New Zealand, ladies and gentlemen. What were the police doing at that Posey Parker protest while this law was being broken to an extent that I don't think anybody's actually ever seen before in this country, to my knowledge?
Well, I think what we had is, I think we've got some precedents that are already in place, Vinny. We've got the Springbok tour as an example, where you had, you know, there were full-on rumbles. You know, you would have, I don't think you were born then. But we're talking full-on scraps between lines of protesters versus the police back in the old day when they still had the old six-inch hickory batons and the trudgeons. And you didn't want to get a hit over the head with one of those, man, I tell you. But anyway, there were big brawls, massive fights, and there were lots of arrests. And there were two people that got really... that got arrested and sentenced to prison. One of them was John Minto. John Minto was a career protester for many years, but now he works for a government agency, and he actually wrote an article against me for protesting. And this is coming from a guy that is a career protester. And so John Minto has sold out, or he's just a lefty and they just don't know how to think straight. But anyway, the point is this: he was sentenced to do prison time, and basically it got taken to a higher court. They appealed the decision, and sure enough, the upper court said no, that was prison, no, and he got something else. They said prison was way too harsh for him, and they said no, and this other guy, and so it was the decision was repealed and overturned, the one that would have seen them in prison. And I think there's plenty of examples of people getting into a pickle with the law like we've done, that find themselves in similar positions. I think what we saw on Saturday, as with the Black Lives Matter protest that had happened a few months earlier before us during level lockdown 2, when 10,000 people marched onto Parliament. Not one of them was social distancing or wore a mask. You got to give them kudos for that. And then 10,000 people on the streets of Auckland, Black Lives Matter, during the level 2 lockdown, arm in arm, no social distancing and certainly no masks among them. Not one arrest, Vinny. Not one arrest for Black Lives Matter. And then we see what happened on Saturday. Not one arrest. And the woman that they do have an interest in, she's fled to Australia. And it was revealed today in some of the released documents that the police are saying, oh, look, it's no big deal. Just come back and we'll just, look, don't make it so that we need to send out, create an arrest warrant for you. Look, this is, we don't need to make a big deal of this. Just come on in and we'll sort it out. Really? Hold on. Did I see you pour a cup of soup on a policeman or on anybody? Did any one of our supporters on that protest, were they seen doing anything like that? Were we seen terrifying and intimidating people? Did we assault any elderly woman? No. No, we didn't.
Yeah, I was just trying to think. Did I think about assaulting any elderly woman that day? No, I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, it was tomato sauce, Lady Sister Georgie. And by the way, you have got your shirt should be with you either tomorrow or today, actually. So, I've been in communication actually with Andrew Costa because I want to interview him for the documentary, and I had another email from him yesterday, which I promptly responded to. And basically I said, look, I want an opportunity here in the documentary to interview you to understand why the police has been the way it is. Because it looks like New Zealand has slid into the abyss of politicised selective policing. And that's what it looks like. And I said, I want to believe that that's not the case. I want to believe that we do have a great police service. I want to believe these things, but even with me, it's been the image of that has been tarnished. Absolutely tarnished, and with many hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders, their trust in the police is gone. We've been demoralised about our police service. We really have. What's done it? Is it just been about you and I and COVID? No, it's the fact that they're spending police resources, time and money on trying to convict you and I when these rapists walking around, gang members walking around that want to hurt and harm people and extort. When these pedophiles walking around, where these dishonest people that are ripping off people, where these kids that are lost on the streets committing these heinous crimes and ram raids and that. That's what needs to be focused on. And we're looking at things like this. And then, you know, what I said to him is that the trust in the police has even eroded further since the events of Saturday for the Posey Parker thing. And how much further lower can it go, Vinny?
Well, it really, I think it should go as low as it possibly can. Because my personal view is that anybody who follows orders and disregards their own conscience is a bad person. This includes, at this point, pretty much every single government employee and certainly every police officer. All right, and I'm not saying that these people are bad people or whatever, and that's their character and that's what they are. It's just, if they're doing that job and they're following orders without exercising their conscience and they're hurting people as a result, that makes you a bad person. I'm sorry, those are the rules of morality. And if you want to argue with me, you're wrong, and I will show you that you're wrong. The thing is, they could at any point quit their job, lay complaints against other police officers and do all sorts of things. People are like, oh, there's good cops and whatever. And I'm just thinking, okay, have you saw the footage of the Wellington protest? Did you see the girl being pulled out by her dreadlocks, naked, and then set upon by police officers, and none of them tried to stop them, you know? That's how you know there aren't any good cops, because they are in a cult. And they have one rule, and they follow it, and it is not the rule of their conscience, period. And likewise, I don't support the idea of governments, specifically because it is the Latin for mind control, governe and mente, to control the mind. And quite frankly, I'm not a supporter of mind control. I'm a supporter of people having control of their own minds, but not of faceless organizations full of bureaucrats and people who tell you what to think. And so we face a real fundamental question in this country. Have we all been living and thinking wrong this whole time, our entire life? And the answer is most definitely yes. We've been thinking about it all wrong, ladies and gentlemen. These things that we're taught to respect by Hollywood, these cops jumping across rooftops and things of that nature. No, no, no. You want the movies about the cops who are raping girls in police bars, okay? You see all these things about the military coming in and saving innocent women and children or something. No, no, you want to have the movies about the military bases where they have pedophile rape cults operating where children come out with 47 different venereal diseases. Okay? These are the facts that you should be looking at. This is the harsher reality that is much, much in your face, but so beneath the radar. Isn't that interesting? It's right there in front of you, but you cannot see it because people haven't enlightened you to the fact that government is slavery and the police are an order-following cult, and you should not have faith in either of these institutions or any of these people who blindly obey the orders of their so-called superiors.
Well, I'd tell you what, I would agree with most of that, except for this. I spoke to my another dear mate of mine yesterday. I've known him for 11 years. He's been in the police for 25 years. And he actually speaks in my documentary. And he has said he was a part of a big group of police that did not get the vaccine, did not obey the mandate. So they all lost their jobs at once. They got them back, of course, when it was overturned. They weren't prepared to enforce COVID lockdown policing. They were not prepared to enforce this clear, woke, globalist form of communism, and they weren't a part of it. Now, this is my mate. He's as straight up and down as he can get. 25 years service in the police, senior, and he's like, this is rubbish, because I was talking to him about the sentencing tomorrow, and he just says, look, he just cannot believe it. He said the times that he has stood in court and watched people that have done vicious assaults get discharged without conviction, drink driving recidivist drink drivers get off with sometimes even without conviction and maybe with a discharge. And he said he cannot believe that it's like this. Now, in the first court appearance that we had, going back, I think, when was it? September last year? Anyway, September last year, one of the police members of police came up to me and said, Billy, we're not happy about this. We don't want to be doing this. This has come from the very top. Your protest was peaceful. It was small. It hurt nobody. And we know that this isn't right. And I accepted that on the basis of what he said, but they still prosecuted us.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we don't want to do this, but we're being ordered to. So we're going to abandon our conscience and what we think is right and do the bad thing. Again, ladies and gentlemen, these are bad people.
Well, you know, and this...
I hate to be so black and white about it, but
I've worn the uniform, and I think it's different. You know, you either have a heart and a level of empathy where no matter what the order is, if it's wrong, it's wrong, and you don't do it. In the New Zealand Army, there's an ethos that they teach you that if you are given an order that you know is unlawful or that is immoral, that you are to disobey it. They teach you that at basic training. They go over and over it, you know, so you don't abuse captured prisoners of war and all that sort of stuff. And so I learned that. It was drummed into me. And so by the time I went into the police, I had that army ethos already drummed in hard in my thinking. So to me, it wasn't, you know, my whole ambition about wanting to be a policeman and my career was cut short was to protect people. That's all I was interested in. I wasn't interested in being an enforcer for the sake of being an enforcer. I was interested in helping and protecting people. That's what motivated me. The same way that I was motivated to take that stand on the August the 18th, 2021. It's the same motivation. It's no different. Factors, you know, I could have been standing there in a blue or a green uniform that day, and it would have seemed right, either a policeman or an army uniform, and it would have seemed right that I stood there telling the government that what they're doing is killing people. And to the point of fact, that little girl that hung herself, the blinking afternoon that we were arrested, a little girl in my community, and I talk about her all the time because it breaks my heart. She's an inspiration to me for this fight, because that little girl killed herself because she had lockdown anxiety. You know, and if that doesn't motivate people to fight for the right, then nothing will. You know, nothing will. And so, you know, tomorrow is going to be very interesting. Do I know what the, or have a feeling for what the judge is going to do? Not in your life. I don't have any thought of it. He doesn't have a very good track record with us. He gave us bail. Yes, he gave us bail, which I was very grateful at the time. He gave us bail when he was under huge pressure not to. You remember that, Vinny? That police prosecutor was really laying it on him not to allow us to have bail, and he said, no, I'm not disposed to do that to Mr. Dick Edgar and Mr. Eastwood. And so we got our bail, but with very, very restrictive bail conditions.
I actually haven't seen bail conditions. Like, I've been interviewing activists for 15 years. I've been through all sorts of things. I've never seen bail conditions like that before. The closest I ever saw was, I think, Russell Malcolm in 2010, 2012-ish. He was banned from contacting any New Zealand politician.
Yeah.
During an election year.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we'll see what happens tomorrow, Vinny. But I do think that if... I think there could be real trouble if they go too far with us. And again, I don't want to see any violence or anything like that. I'm completely against that, of course. I don't want to see anyone harmed or hurt.
Yeah, that's right. We want defensive force out there, people. I'm joking.
No, you're joking, but you know that I'm very serious about that. You know, for me, it's the whole thing. I'm a Christian, number one. And the moment that we use violence to force the issue, we've lost the fight. And so, but I do believe there will be there'll be international spotlight on us. I've got people poised right now to go global with our story. We've got Dr. Rima Lobo just on standby with her network. We've got loads of people, just heaps of them, that I've been working on for the last few days quietly, just lining up to support us in case, so that if there's a press release that needs to get sent out about it, it goes out very, very quickly. But again, you know, how much more will middle New Zealand allow to have happen? You know, and really, we are the guinea pigs on behalf of New Zealand, Vinny. There's no doubt about it. I mean, we were the first arrested for protest in this manner. And, you know, and this is a whole new experience for me. I've always been a law-abiding citizen, apart from smoking weed when I was a young musician, of course. But golly jeepers, you know, holy smoke, literally. You know, like I said to someone, I didn't join the police to bust pot smokers. Otherwise, I would have to bust all my own whānau and retrospectively bust myself. So I just want to be upfront about that. I do not endorse it now.
Handcuffing yourself is pretty easy, I guess, but...
No, I've never done that before or tried to do that, Vinny. So, but anyway, but the point is, I think New Zealand should watch us. I know we've got a few international eyes on us that are going to be watching this. We've got Gareth Ike, we've got Leilani Dowding, we've got all sorts of folk that will that will go to the world media.
You know, I just found out that Leilani Doubting was on The Real Housewives of Cheshire. Did you know that?
Yes.
I was like, wow, I've been interviewed by this lady.
She is a real neat lady, Leilani. She's really down to earth. You know what, in the interview that I did with her for the documentary, I played her the Kate Hannah clip when she's talking about white women that have pretty kids and braid their hair and do knitting and make nice food and have white nationalist points of view. And I said, what do you think of this woman, Leilani? She went off on Kate Hannah. It's really quite hilarious. It's probably one of the lighter moments of the documentary when you see this woman with this thick English accent going on about Kate Hannah being an absolute nut job. It really is. But speaking of the documentary, I do want to change something. I want to give you guys a sneak preview. I'll give you guys a little treat, and I want you guys to have a look at this.
Would you have a share screen for me?
Uh-huh. Oh, you want the share screen now. Okay.
Well, if we're going to be watching something, that's the ideal, then.
I guess. Okay. But the thing is, will you hear it? That's the thing. I don't know if you will. Will you? Will you hear
it? I heard the last thing you played.
Oh, you did? Okay, very good. All right. So, folks, you're going to be in for a treat here. Here's a couple of snapshots that we did to give people a little bit of a glimpse of what the documentary may look like to
full
you.
Full screen it on your computer?
Can I do that?
Yeah, just use that full screen, a little square there.
Okay. All right. How's that?
Is
that
beautiful.
Okay, let's have a look at this, guys.
What's the right number of times for your public health officials to lie to you in such a way as could cost you your health or your life? Now, it's a rhetorical question. The answer is zero, right? So if I can persuade you that your officials have lied to you at least once, preferably several times, you should be able to use one of those and that piece of rhetoric to get people who you care about to wake up. I thought there was a virus and a terrifying pandemic in January 2020 because they told me so. By early March, I was watching the daily briefings, which were part of the brainwashing, really. Every evening we'd watch the same bunch of three criminals. And by the way, some of them are my former colleagues. So it's quite an interesting dynamic. I was watching people I used to work with lying to me. Sir Patrick Vallance, or Pat Vallance, is saying things I know he knows are not true. We share a common training. We have the same foundational courses in the same university system at the same time. We would have used the same textbooks. That's the way it works. I know that Vallance knows what I know about basic immunology, and I've never used anything but basic immunology in my critique. So when he said certain things, I knew he knew they were not true. I know enough about infectious diseases. I'm not a vaccinologist, but I have a good understanding of immunology. So I knew this was nonsense. You don't quarantine the healthy. I knew in a heartbeat we were in so much trouble because never before had the whole Western world done the same thing in lockstep. Over the next few weeks, all the countries I could find information at were imposing the same nonsense but damaging measures.
All right, so I won't go beyond that. I had another couple of minutes planned for us, but, here we have, for those of you who don't know, we have Mike Yedden, who was the...
Share screen there?
Yeah, sure can. Here we have Mike Yedden, who is the former vice president of Pfizer. Now, you cannot get bigger. You cannot... These big tech, then these Pfizer. That's huge tech. And here you have Professor Mike Yedden explaining the problems with the narrative. He was the chief scientist for Pfizer, Vinny. And he gave me 2 hours of his holiday time in the south of France. And he was just saying to me, look, this is just all horribly wrong. And so the whole construct of the documentary is going to have information that is going to absolutely carve up the bull nonsense that we've had to endure for the last almost, well, for 3 years. And in such a clear-cut way, Vinny, that you'd have to be literally with your head in the sand or just in complete psychotic denial not to learn something from this documentary that's coming. It's going to be unbelievable.
Well, you're just describing about 60% of the population there, believe I. Luckily, you don't need everybody to be on board in order to make change happen. And the thing is about idiots who believe anything they're told is that as soon as the new authority becomes correct, they'll just obey that. So, yeah, all you got to do is just get people on side one way or the other, and we can win this thing. But, you know, will we win? I mean, I think not, but I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that eventuality that I think is going to happen frickin' doesn't happen. Ironically, you know, in a historical context, the road that you take might be the exact road you need to take in order to create the future that you don't want, but let's hope that that's not the case here.
Exactly. Now, I just want to touch on this just before we get ready to say goodnight to everybody. Police investigating the Posey Parker juice thrower, no arrest warrant yet. Now, interestingly enough, this same woman was in the newspaper being glorified yesterday by stuff.co.nz and the other various woke shill newspapers. Now, counter-protester Ali Rubakishin...
Oh, could you share the screen again, please? I'm so sorry.
Oh, you son of a gun. All right, stand by, Mr. Eastwood. We're going to hit the share screen for you, and here it is, right? So let's start that again. So you see what I'm talking about here. This is the title here. It's Police Investigating Posey Parker, Juice Thrower, No Arrest Warrant Yet. The problem is that these guys have, because they don't want to arrest this woman. No way do they want to do that. But the world is watching them, just like they're going to be watching us tomorrow. Now, you see this character here in the purple pink thing there. That is that person who sits on the New Zealand Herald board, Shanine Lau, somebody like this. Anyway, going back down here, it says that this woman, Ali Rubakishin, said she's been told by police that it's likely they will apply for a warrant to arrest them, notice them, because that's her pronoun, on Wednesday. But she was basically saying in the paper yesterday that she would do this and would do it again, time and time again, and she would have no problem going to jail for a year for doing it. And as soon as she was aware that the police were looking for her, she goes and catches a plane to Australia. And what they've said is, and I saw the paperwork today for her, and I think some of it's over here. Let's have a look. But look at the language. Look at the language they're using in this. Ellie, application documents are likely to be filed in the Auckland District Court 3 p.m. today seeking a warrant for your arrest. Please contact me to progress our discussion regarding fronting this matter. This situation is likely to escalate unnecessarily if you become the subject of an arrest warrant. I'm here to help. I'm here to help and hope that I hear from you very soon. Thank you. It sounds very lovely. Very lovely, doesn't it? And look at that. That's what they did to her. And but listen to this. Look at this, what they said over here. We don't need to make this a big deal. We just need to get it done. Please reach out to me. Look at the language that they're using for this woman who was part of this. Let's just have a little reminder of what it was, eh?
Let's
full screen that. Hold on a second. There we go. Let's go back there. So that's what you get in New Zealand. Let's just get out of there.
Stop that video playing there.
Yeah, there we go. All right, let's get out of that. So, you know, when I look back at that footage, Vinny...
Could you stop sharing the screen again, please? I'm sorry.
If that had been one of our protests, I would have been absolutely horrified. If we had behaved like that, you know, the way that I'd always done the protests, you know, and you saw me do it, I'd always pray before we went to do it, go and deliver one. we always had calm, always contacted the police and worked with them. The policeman that was meant to work with me on that day didn't contact me, a guy called Luke. I was told he would meet me at the event to work out the operational details, which I already had worked out for him. And he didn't show up at all. And so it was a setup. But no way did we have anything like that until, of course, they were using brutal force. They strangled Antoinette James, strangled her, arrested poor sister Debbie Bradley for no reason. And it got out of hand from them. But where the heck were they on Saturday, Vinny? Where were they?
I don't know, probably smoking their confiscated weed and hotboxing the paddy wagon. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of piss heads in the police, let's face it. Anyway, I'm not sure that they were they drinking on the job, sleeping on the job, or were they skiving off? Were they involved in some kind of gang-affiliated drug deal that they were trying to benefit from? Who knows what the police get up to these days? We just don't know. But what we do know is that they weren't doing their job at that particular moment, and that it is a particularly politically charged issue, and we are looking at a politicised police force now. I'm not entirely sure if we won't see opposition political party and the truth-telling political party people getting arrested during this election year.
Well, let's face it, we've got a government that supports Zelensky in the Ukraine. Zelensky continues to arrest political opponents. He has got at least two of the leaders from opposition parties in prison right now. Opponents. He closed down opposition media channels, closed them down. He's arrested the people that ran them. He's arrested the political leaders in the opponent parties. He's arrested them. They're in jail now. And so how can it not be potentially a pathway that this government will go down? How can it not be that? Well, I guess another question, way of putting that question is, if the political parties are genuine, how could they not be arrested? That's another way of looking at it, you know. And so that's, and I don't say that wishing that, but how can it not be? Because, you know, there's a collision course that inevitably you're going to be on with tyranny if you're standing against it. Now, that reminds me, everybody, I must remember to let you know that our court case tomorrow is not at 10 a.m. but at 2:15 p.m. 14:15, 2:15 p.m. at the Auckland District Court. Let me say that again. The Auckland District Court at 2 p.m. 2:15 p.m. tomorrow. We would love to see you, and if you come, please bring your peace with you, your love, your support, and bring your goodness with you. We don't want to seem like any of these other people that need to act like idiots to try and underline and emphasize their point. Vinny, thanks for being with me tonight. I'm going to leave it there because you need to be with Rebecca and little Alfie and give them a kiss. I can't wait to meet them tomorrow. Final thoughts from you?
The thing that's just going through my head is my mum's coming over. She's coming driving down from up north, and we're all going to go down there, and little Alfie's going to come to a court, his first court appearance at 8 weeks old. Definitely the son of Vinny Eastwood. And he's cute. He's got, what was it? I call him a little sausage, right? Because of the little sausage legs, the babies have got, it's like real cute, right? And then Rebecca's like, no, he's not a sausage. That's like where all the crap meat goes. He's like Scotch steak or something like that. And I go, he's my little prime cuts. Oh, my little prime cuts. They didn't love you so much. It's very, very, very cute. And I love him, and I certainly don't wish to be parted with him.
No.
Just to appease the state in this particular instance, you know. But it will be what it will be. The thing that came to mind today is que sera, sera. What will be, will be.
All right, my brother. Thank you for joining me. I'll be ringing you in the morning anyway. So thanks, eh? I'll speak to you soon, brother. God bless you guys. And try praying to the Lord tonight, Vinny, because I'll be praying for you in about 2 minutes when I have prayers with my fellowship whānau.
Oh, yeah. I pray in times of desperation, and I already beat you to it, bro.
Good man. Make it every day. Make it every day. All right, then.
Well, let's face facts. Every day is pretty desperate these days, isn't it?
Well, that's a good reason to be on your knees, mate. That's good. And I tell you, it helps a lot. All right. Give that baby a kiss for us, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Cheers, bro. See you.
See you, mate.